I have three texts, and I'm going to take them in a logical order, I think, hope, rather than the order in which they're found in the scriptures. The first is in Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Lord, make me to know mine end. Lord, make me to know mine end, Psalm 39. And then in Deuteronomy 32, he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. That's Deuteronomy 20. And Deuteronomy 29 in verse 32. So I'll get it right. Deuteronomy 32, 20, and now Deuteronomy 32, 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. End is the key word in common to all those verses. Their end, mine end. Lord, make me to know mine end. First of all, then, in our thinking, we may not ask God when our end shall be. It is not given to any of us to know how long this Lord will spare us, how long we will be given of our life, how many opportunities we will have to serve them. What is meant by, Lord, make me to know mine end, is explained in the next bit. Lord, let me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. The oldest man that ever lived died before his father did. He was 969, Methuselah. But we are frail. And the Lord says that we should ask him, Lord, make me to know mine end. Lord, that I may know how frail I am. Life will not go on forever. The things you're able to do at 20, you won't do at 40. Things you're able to do at 40, you won't do at 60. Things you're able to do at 60, you won't do at 80, and so on. And we do have the seasons to guide us. That spring leads to summer, that summer leads to autumn, and that autumn leads to winter, and that our frailty has the same pattern, though our frail lives last a little longer than the yearly flowers and the yearly seasons. But it won't go on forever, this mortal life. And here is a prayer that the Lord will make me to know mine end. So, what does that mean? Lord, make me to know mine end. Means that I may know how frail I am. How frail we are. We could be knocked out of life in a moment. We could be knocked senseless in an instant. Some plague could hit us ever so quickly that there wasn't a sign of 10 hours before. So when it says, behold, let me know my end and how frail I am, it means the liability that we have to these things. Now, it's not right to go about thinking all the time, I might die, I might die, I might die. You can't do that. But deep down, you must have reposed your heart in God and said, no matter how long you spare me, I will serve thee. Mine end It's the end of this life. Thou hast cursed mankind. And if thou wilt spare me during my life to serve thee, I don't mind knowing how weak I am. And that one day my end will come. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, each man at his best state is altogether vanity. We don't quite have that saying, do we? We say man at his best state is but a man. But here the scripture says, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. The best accomplishments, the highest accomplishments, the greatest brain, all these things are altogether vanity. We don't know anything as we ought to know. We haven't learned anything as we ought to have learned. We've not accomplished anything as we ought to have accomplished. At his best state, we are vanity. We are not approved to God because we have capabilities he's given them us, because we've used our capabilities better, for he's given us the opportunity. We are to have these things to know how precious they are and how they may soon fleet away and opportunities may not continue. Thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. 1,000 years is one day. And how long will 100 years be in his sight? My age is as nothing before thee. Lord, make me to know mine end. Don't push it away. But don't desert me while I'm thinking about it. Lord, make me to know mine end. Or may he make us to know our end, that we shall die, that whoever we are and whatever we've done, we shall give account to God. And therefore it's right for us to live life as unto him and serve him. And then in Deuteronomy 32:20, he said, I will hide my face from them and shall see what their end shall be. That is absolutely terrible. That is absolutely terrible. When Job was really troubled and was in pain from his head to his feet, he said to the Lord, why don't you just let me alone? Why don't you just leave me? I'm nothing much, but just let me enjoy what little I've got. Leave me alone. That was what he prayed. It was out of that that arose his knowledge of the Saviour and of the Saviour's resurrection, and that though he were dead, yet he should see Christ. But it arose when he said to the Lord, why don't you leave me alone? We're in a terrible state if we ask to be left alone. And God did not leave Job alone. But you don't you ask to be left alone. But here God says he was a nation, the Jewish nation, that had gone aside after vanities, vain gods, gods that are no gods, inventions of man. And the Lord says, okay, let them help him. Let them, whom they put their trust in, the idols that they have made, let them help them, let them save them. But they're nothing at all. And if God leaves us, just to watch what our end shall be, there's a sense of horror about it, isn't there? A sense of, oh, terrible nature. God will just watch. He will not intervene when he sees suffering, when he sees pain, when he sees war, because they've not turned to him. He will just let them get on with it. Terrible. No. I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be. Wouldn't it be terrible if he hid his face from you? Perhaps you've not served him, perhaps you've not committed yourself to him, perhaps you've not loved him, perhaps you've not appreciated the price that Jesus paid for the forgiveness of your sin. And if God were to say, oh well, I'll just watch them. I went into being. I'll just see what their end will be. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? But we are to think about our end to enable us to know how properly to spend life and how properly to live before him and to serve him and him alone. And then in verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I will take a possible liberty with the text and say that we should not only consider the end of this life, but we should also consider that after death, the judgment, the latter end, the end that follows the end of this life. It should be weighed up in our minds. We shall meet with God. He will expect us to give account to him of every word we've spoken. Jesus said that. And every minute we spend. And clearly we need the blood of the Lord Jesus to cover us from all those sins. Who could say I've never said something out of place? Who can say that all my time I've never neglected putting God first? We need the blood of Christ from beginning to end to cleanse us from our sin. But the latter end, the judgment of God, the prospect of eternity with Hitler and with Stalin and with all the evil people, small and great, down the years. Is that where we want to spend life? Perhaps we say to ourselves, well, I'll change later. It is a very real thought that people say. Later on, I will turn to Christ. There are things I want to do first. They have nothing to do with God at all. But after that, I will turn to God. And you know the meaning of that text we've just seen? I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. If you talk like that, you won't get the chance. He'll just leave you to your own devices. You won't get the chance to turn to him. You won't hear the gospel when you need to. It's what's happening in this land by thousands, isn't it? You're not allowed to speak of the gospel in school, except very veiled. You're not allowed, if you're an employee of NHS, to speak to people about the Lord or have prayer with them. Even those who would love to do it are prevented, and those who need to hear it can't hear. And the Lord is leaving to observe our end, what salvation there will be in the lives of those who never sought him. Won't happen. But we do have now. We do have the days of salvation. And the text moves on, that they shall consider their latter end after death, the judgment. The Lord will have us before him. I don't quite know whether scripture teaches that believers will be the jury or whether they will actually do the full judging in his name. I won't go into that issue. But the Lord will require of us that account of our lives. And you will not be able to give that account if the blood of the Lord Jesus doesn't cover you. And as I've said to you before, it will not just be a flat day of judgment. It will be an angry God who is angry with the wicked every day. What did you think you were doing? That would be the tone of it, right the way through. But we have the opportunity to consider beforehand our latter end. We must run it through our minds that we should know how frail we are, that we should know what our end shall be, and that more than that, we should consider what our latter end will be. I often think about the many people who say, I don't believe in God. They can have a nasty surprise, aren't they? And God is not dead because they don't believe in him. They're the ones who are going to an eternal death. And we have to consider our latter end. All men have to consider it. It's a terrible situation to get when you get older and you've not served the Lord at all and you're bitter. And perhaps you just wonder just before you die, is there any hope for me? What if the Lord says, I'm not intervening. I'm just observing. You have never believed the gospel. I will see what your end shall be. Painful, maybe. However it will be, but unbelieving. Frightening. We needn't be frightened if we believe. If we consider our lives, how the Lord has dealt with us from the beginning, how it is with us now, how it will be in the next part of the future, if you will, and how it will be at our end. We consider all these things and come before the Lord and say, my life is very frail, but thou hast given it. It will be as strong as thou dost make it. If we consider our end and then consider our latter end, what it will mean if we do not consider our lives and how they will lead on and lead on even into eternity. If we look to people and invite them to consider their end, they will think that perhaps we're being maudlin. But it still is the sensible thing to do. It's a sensible thing for us to do, for us to give it a reworking ourselves, our thoughts about these things. It's right for every person to do it and to consider that the only true answer to living is to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ upon repentance, that his blood should cover our sins, and to worship him who alone is to be worshipped as our Saviour and as our Lord and as our God. May the Lord help us to consider our ends. Amen.